Good morning again. Y'all are just waiting. You're ready. You're not going to say good morning to me again, right? Thank you very much. Let me ask you the question. Have you ever been attached to something? All of a sudden, you found yourself attached to something you didn't want to be attached to. I mean, it had control of you, even if just for a few seconds, but it had control. But you didn't want it to have control, and you didn't want to be attached to that person or thing, whatever it was. I found that happened to me this past week. I found myself attached to something I didn't want to be attached to. It was a door. I was walking in that door, and I guess I entered that room the same way that I enter all rooms pretty quickly. And as I walked through that door, it was one of those doors that when you open it, and if you've got something in your hand, you're kind of, it's a little awkward anyway. And it's one of those doors that closes real quick on you. If you don't keep it with the other hand away from you, you let go of it, it's going to close real quick. And that is what happened to me. It closed so quick, and I was going through that door so fast that something on that door reached out and grabbed me at the bottom of my pants. And I was going through that door with such emphasis that it ripped, it tore the fabric of my pants. And when that happened, I noticed that had happened, I tried to move forward a little bit, and the handle on the door had the loop, my belt loop as well. I was attached, and I didn't want to be attached. I was out of control. It was out of my control. And it was just a few seconds, but it ripped a good pair of pants. I'll tell you that right now. And I got to thinking about that. Sometimes in my life, there have been relationships that I've gotten attached to that I really didn't need to be attached to. Or there were habits that had attached themselves to my life that I really didn't want to be attached to. And it ripped and it tore at my soul and at my emotions. My mind and my spirit were affected by those attachments. Now, I don't know if anything like that has ever happened to you. Maybe you've never gone through a door like that that closed on you and ripped your pants or your dress and got your belt loop. But maybe there have been some times in your lives where you've had a habit in your life that it had such control over you that it ripped and it tore at your soul. And it ripped and it tore at those things that you hold dear, everything that you hold dear in your life. Or maybe it was a relationship, or maybe it's a hang-up. And you just got stuck in those things, and you got stuck in a grief, or you got stuck in anger, or you got stuck in your job, or you got stuck in guilty feelings, and you just felt attached to those things, and they were in control of your life, and they were ripping and tearing at the fabric of your life. How do you break free from those kinds of things? And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's many things that God says in His Word about how we can break free from those kinds of things, those hang-ups, those habits, those relationships that rip and tear at the fabric of our lives. But today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to see what God has to say about that. Now, we've been on the highway to healing, and we've been talking about how playing God is not a good idea, but we do that in our lives. We play God, and we try to be strong, and we try to hold up, and it just does not work. And so what we need to do is we need to honor God and not ourselves in our lives if we want to get on that highway to healing, to break free. Something else that we've also talked about, and we talked about this last week, is that we need to be sure that we've established a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about life attachment. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Well, Jesus says, come to me and get away with me, and you'll recover your life. You'll get loose from that attachment. And I'll show you how to take a real rest, to walk with me and work with me, and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And this is God's invitation. Jesus is saying, come to me. God is saying, come to me, and I will show you how to take a rest, how to take a real rest, and I'll lighten your load. A lot of people think, if you come to God, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to put more on you and add more on you. Jesus said, I will lighten the load for you if you will come to me, and I will give you release, and I will give you relief, and you will have rejuvenation. And if we just give control and care of our lives to the Lord Jesus, life would be so much easier. That's what the Word of God says. That is the promise of Jesus in our lives. Now, what is it that keeps us from that? What is it that keeps us in that rut, that keeps us at that place where we're being torn apart? What are those roadblocks on the highway to healing? Well, the first roadblock that I want you to write down is arrogance. Arrogance is when I say, well, I don't really need God's help. I don't really need anybody else's help. I can do this on my own. I can get loose of the door on my own. I can get my belt loop out of the handle of that door on my own. I don't need God's help. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Arrogant people are on the way to ruin. The self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. Maybe you're not ready to take this step. Maybe you're not ready to say, God, I humble myself, and God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Well, that's just fine. God's going to step back and say, okay, if you're not ready to take this step, if you're not ready to let me have control of your life, then you can have a I'm going to let you go through some more pain. And God says pain will get you to that place where you'll be able to listen to what I want to say. Second thing, second roadblock that keeps us from being under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ and attaching our lives to Him is shame. I've come so many times before, and I've asked God to help me, and I've confessed that sin, and I've confessed this, and I just keep messing up over and over again, and I'm so ashamed to come to God. Ezra said it like this in Ezra 9 and verse 6, oh my God, I am ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to you, for our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt is as boundless as the heavens. You ever felt that way? There's so much going on in my life. There's so many failures, so much sin, so many mistakes that I've made. I just cannot lift up my head to God. It's just piled so high. God, I'm embarrassed to come to you. God says that I want you to come to me. And then fear is a third thing, a third roadblock that keeps us from coming. Well, if I come to God and I'm not really going to gain anything, and He's going to pile more on me, and it's just going to be harder. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, or if you're away from the Lord, what is it that is keeping you from committing your life 100% and totally to Christ? What are you afraid is going to happen if you give God the care and the control of your life? And some people think, well, if I do that, then God's going to turn me into a missionary in Africa, or God's going to turn me into a priest, or God's going to turn me into a nun, or whatever. We're afraid of what God might do. Let me talk to you about freedom today. You know, you want to be free. Deep down inside, we all want to be free. But I want to tell you, you're under the control of something today or someone today. But what true freedom is when you place your life under the 100% control of God. Then you have full freedom. You'll never be free having your life controlled by anyone or anything else. And you and I have to serve somebody. You and I have to serve something. And maybe you're serving your ego, or you're serving somebody else. What are you afraid of if you turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you holding on to that you think I can't let go of this in order to give my life to God? Is it an ambition? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? Is it a lifestyle? Is it a possession that you're just holding on to because you're afraid of what God might do if you turn your life over to Him or you turn that over to Him? Look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8. Beginning in verse 36, he says, how does a man benefit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? My friend, I want to tell you, there's nothing in this life, there's nothing in this world, there is nothing in the universe that is worth more than your soul. Nothing. And when you attach your soul to Christ, you give up everything, and then you never had it so good because Jesus Christ takes what you've been given, and He takes what you give to Him, and He turns it around, and He adds new meaning and purpose and significance and vitality to your life, and he gives it back to you. What you've given to Him, He gives back to you in a whole new way. So if you've ever been afraid to open your life and your control to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might make some fanatic, some nut, or something out of you, don't worry about the specifics of what you might have to give up. Just come to God and say, God, I don't even know what I want to give up or what I need to give up, but I do know I want my life to be under your control. So, God, here is a blank check of my life. Here is my life, God. Do what you want to do. But fear is a roadblock on that highway to healing, and you're not going to get healing as long as you are afraid of what God might do in your life. Then the fourth roadblock is worry. Worry puts up an obstacle on that highway to healing. It keeps you from surrendering your life to the care and control of Jesus. You don't make the decision because you can't solve all the problems with that decision. And here's what we do. We confuse the decision-making phase with the problem-solving phase. So what we do is, instead of making the decision to follow Christ, instead of making the decision to put our life under the control of Christ, we try to work out all the kinks first. We've got to solve all the problems first, and then I'll give my life to Christ. Well, it doesn't work that way with the Lord, and it doesn't work that way in life anyway. You know, some 32 years ago, the Lord had been calling me to go into the ministry for about 8 years before that. And I kept saying, no, I can't do that, Lord. Anything else? And every time I'd come back and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, he said, I want you to go and preach. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to go into ministry. Every time I get to that place, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Oh, no, Lord, not that. Anything but that. And on May 7th, 1978, I said, okay, Lord, that too. But you know what? All the problems weren't worked out. The decision had been made, but all the problems weren't worked out. Because God said, I want you to pick up your family, and I want you to load up the U-Haul, and I want you to share the U-Haul with another family. And I want you to leave Oak Hill, West Virginia, and I want you to go to New Orleans, Louisiana. That's culture shock there, folks. From West Virginia to New Orleans. But I had no money. We had no church. We didn't really know what God had in store. He just said, I want you to go to school. I want you to go to seminary. And I want you to learn about those things that I want to teach you there at seminary. And so when I made the decision to go into the ministry, the decision was made, but all the problems hadn't been worked out yet. I just said, yes, Lord, and then the Lord began one by one, little by little, day by day, to work out the kinks and to work out the problems and to provide for us. And when I preached my first sermon, some of you are going to say amen to this. It was 5 minutes long, brother. 5 minutes, and I was scared all 4 minutes and 60 seconds of it. Some of you say, well, I'd like to hear that 5-minute sermon one time. But God works out the problems. He solves the problems. We make that decision. We say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. And He doesn't want us worrying about the problems. You know, another time, Chris and I decided to buy a house. This is about 15 years ago. And we made the decision to buy a house. And we made the decision to move and to purchase that house. Now, that was easy to make the decision. It's easy to say that. But when we made that decision, everything wasn't worked out. All of the things that was involved in that transaction hadn't been worked out. And so after we made the decision, we had to get financing, we had to get a rental truck to move, we had to get a change of address, and on and on and on, if any of you know what it's like to move. All of the problems had not been solved. The decision was made, but the problems was another phase to be worked out. Many years ago, I said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I don't understand all about you. Lord Jesus, I don't understand all about what it means to be a Christian. But Lord, as best I know how, I believe that I need a Savior. I believe that I need to be forgiven of my sins so that I can have a personal relationship with you that you want me to have with you, Lord Jesus. And I say yes to you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And help me, Lord. Lead me in my life as I follow you. And the Lord Jesus came into my life. I made the decision to do that. But all the problems, I didn't understand all about it. But I made that decision. So what I'm trying to say to you is there is a decision phase, and you're there at your decision phase today. Don't try to work out all the problems before you decide to commit your life to Jesus Christ. The Christian life is a process where you become all God that wants you to be over time, over a period. When you say yes to Jesus, you're not all of a sudden a mature Christian. You're not all of a sudden there where God wants you to be or where you want to be even as a Christian. It is a process. You get saved. You get into the family of God. You get baptized into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, into His fellowship. And then you begin to grow and you mature as a believer, and you read the Word of God and you study the Word of God, and you go to Sunday school and you go to discipleship classes and Bible studies, and you learn and you grow and you have your own Bible study. And you grow, and you pray, you talk to the Lord. And then as you grow as a disciple, then you begin to serve the Lord. You say, as you read the Word and God disciples you and He helps you know what He wants you to do, then you begin to serve the Lord in ministry. And then as you begin to serve in ministry, you begin to realize, hey, God has done something wondrous in my life. He has saved me. And I need to tell others about that. I am a witness of what Jesus has done in my life. And so it is a process. You're not there as soon as you say yes to Jesus, but it is a process. You know, in World War II, the Marines used to go and islands that had been taken over by the enemy. The Marines would go on those islands and set those islands free. But when the Marines made the decision that they're going to go set that island free, just because they made the decision didn't mean that that island was free at that very moment. But what they would do is they would have what they called a softening up period. And what they would do is they would send in explosives, they would send in bombs, they would send in hand grenades, and they would send in all kinds of explosives, and that was the softening up of the island. And when the Marines, the next step, you know, was that island freed at that moment? No, it wasn't free at that moment. And so you may be in the softening up period in your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. He may be sending in bombs and explosives and things in your relationships and things that's going on in your life to soften you up so that He can grow you and help you become all that He created you to be. But then once the Marines did that softening up time, what they would do is they would go in and what they'd call a beachhead. They would take about it may only be 20 yards deep and 200 yards wide. But they would take that part of the island, and they would begin to fight battles. And sometimes they would win the battles, and they would advance another 100 yards or so, and sometimes they would lose the battles, and they would be pushed back some. But they kept on, and they kept on, until finally they had taken the whole island. And it was free again. It was under the control of the United States again. And so, all of World War II, anytime they made a decision that an island needed to be freed, and the United States needed control of that island again, the Marines made the decision. Now, when they made the decision, it wasn't free. But they would go in, soften it up, get the beachhead, and then take over the island. It wasn't free until they went through the process. And by the way, anytime the Marines made that decision, they followed through every time and every time. There's not one time that they were ever defeated and could not take over an island. The same is true spiritually. If you'll make that decision, there will never be a time where God will be defeated in your life. Now, you may go back some, and you may go forward a little bit and a whole lot, and then may get pushed back a little bit by the devil. But God will prevail. He says that we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a process. So he says, don't worry about it. Just trust in me. And maybe you worry that in this battle you couldn't hold on and hold out. And God says, it's not your job to hold on and to hold out. Keep at it. Let me keep going and keep doing in your life. And he says, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. I care for you, he says, and I hold you in my hand. And then the fifth roadblock is unbelief. Write that in. Unbelief is when I say, well, I just don't really believe that God will do that. I think that he could do it, but I don't really believe that he would do that for me. And my faith is just so small, and my faith is just, there's just not much to my faith. Well, let me tell you about a father in Mark chapter 9. There was a father whose son had been demon-possessed since he was a little boy. Fathers, can you imagine that about your son? And he's grown up into adulthood from being a little boy. He's just been tortured by demons. And those demons would throw him down on the ground, cause him to be thrown down on the ground, cause him to be thrown in fires, cause him to be thrown into water to try to drown him. Those demons were trying to kill him. And this father comes to Jesus. His disciples had been trying to cast out that demon, but they couldn't do it. And when Jesus arrived on the scene, this father runs to Jesus and tells him what's going on. And the father said, if you can. Jesus said, what do you mean if? There are no ifs in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, believe, it shall be done. And the father realized that he didn't need to have a big faith. All he needed was a little faith in a big God. And so he said, Jesus, help my unbelief. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus said, that's enough. That's good enough. And he healed his son. Maybe you're there today, and you're not quite sure. God, if you can deliver me from this habit. God, if you can deliver me from this relationship. God, if you can help me with this hang-up. God, if you can forgive me of this sin that I've committed. Now, what if, Jesus says. Jesus said, believe, and it shall be done. And you might need to just pray, Jesus, help me with my unbelief. He says, that's good enough. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew 17:20. If your faith is the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I know you've heard this before, but you and I need to be reminded of it today. A mustard seed is just a little teeny tiny seed. And we hear people saying, I got this great faith. Well, if you got great faith, but it's in something other than God, it's no good. But what Jesus says, even if you've got a little bit of faith and it's in a big God, nothing shall be impossible. But that's a roadblock. Unbelief is a roadblock that keeps us from being attached to the Lord Jesus Christ in the way he wants us to be attached. Now, how do you attach your life to Jesus Christ? What does it mean to attach your life to Jesus Christ and be under his control? The first thing it means is that you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You just humble yourself and you say, God, I need to be saved. Or if you're already a Christian, you just say, God, I need your help. I realize that I need you in this crisis in my life. John 3, verse 36, and all who trust him, God's Son, that is, all who trust God's Son to save them have eternal life. And what does that mean? It means committing as much of myself as I understand at this moment to as much of Christ as I understand at this moment. Is that good enough? Yes, it is. Jesus said, it's good enough. You shall be saved. And by the way, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, and I've given my life to God, and that just didn't work. I tried it for a while, and it just didn't work. Well, if that happened to you, and you're there right now today, I want to say this to you. Here's why it didn't work. You were involved, but you weren't committed. Now, I heard about a kamikaze pilot. You know what a kamikaze pilot is? Patrick, do you know? He flew suicide missions. Only one mission. And he'd fly into the ship or the target or whatever, and he'd kill himself, but he'd also kill others. I heard about a kamikaze pilot who flew 33 missions. He was involved, but he wasn't committed. And you say, I tried Jesus and it didn't work. You were involved, but you weren't committed. And you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You need to ask Jesus to help you. The second thing to get attached to the Lord Jesus, get your life attached to Him, is to believe the Bible is your standard for living. 2 Timothy 3:16, every part of Scripture, not just some of it, not just the part you understand, not just the part you like, but every part of Scripture is God-breathed, came from God. Jesus said that we do not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And every part of Scripture is life, God-breathed. And it is useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. And attaching your life to Jesus Christ, you're saying, Jesus, now I've got a manual that I'm going to live my life by. I read about somebody who wrote graffiti on the side of a building that says, this life is a test. It's only a test. Had it been an actual life, you would have been given an instruction manual to tell you what to do and where to go. Now let me tell you, that is a lie. We have been given a manual. It is the Word of God. It is the Bible. And the Bible tells us how to live our lives. So if I'm going to attach my life to Jesus, I need to believe that. The third thing is I follow God's plan. And that's the ambition of my life. That's why I live my life. I want to follow God. God, what do you want me to do today? God, you woke me up today. Either it was the sun shining in the window, or it was the thunder and lightning, or it was the alarm clock, or whatever it was. God, you woke me up today. And because you woke me up today, I believe you've got something special for me to do today. What is it you want to do in my life today and through my life today for you, God? I will follow God's plan. Seek first the will of God. And David said it in Psalm 40 and verse 8, I desire to do your will, O my God. And then the fourth thing to attach our lives is to connect to God's power for strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power. And so no longer, when I attach my life, when I have a life attachment to Jesus Christ, no longer do I try to live my life on my energy. Because I have found that my energy runs out really quick these days. But Jesus' power goes on and on. He's all powerful. All powerful. And so many times, some people will say, well, if I just had the willpower, I'd like to have the willpower that you got. No, I wouldn't. We need God's power. That's the only thing, is God's power, and be connected to that. You know, when pilots fly, I'm not a pilot, I'm a pilot when you pile brush, but anyway. Pilots that fly airplanes fly by two different methods. Some pilots fly VFR, visual flight rules. Other pilots fly by IFR, instrument flight rules. And the safest way to fly is IFR, instrument flight rules. And that's when the pilot taxis the plane out on the runway. And then the pilot picks up the microphone and makes contact with the tower. And the pilot says, I'm going to IFR, instrument flight rules. And so the pilot flies that plane under the control of the instruments. He sets that instrument panel to fly, and then it's taken care of. And the pilot can fly into clouds, and the pilot can fly in a lot of places, and those instruments know exactly where the pilot is. And thankfully, commercial airlines, they use IFR because it's the safest way to fly. But other pilots who are maybe new pilots, don't have as much experience, want to fly visual flight rules. They don't want to be under somebody else's control. I want to go by sight. And I want to see where the runway is, and I want to see where the mountain is, because I don't want to fly into that mountain. But what happens if a pilot flies like that long enough? There's going to be a time where he thought he was going to, or she thought she was going to be in, or he was going to be in good weather the whole flight. But there is going to be a time when the weather catches up to you, and you're going to fly through some clouds, and you're going to fly into cloud cover. Then you're in trouble. You say, well, why can't they just radio back and say, I want to go to IFR? Well, they could. But so many of those pilots are men just like me. And we don't want to admit we're lost. We would rather fly that airplane into a mountain. And sadly, that's what happens many times. Many of those small plane crashes, FAA tells us, happen because they're flying on VFR and they get in the weather and they can't see where they are. Now, how are you flying with the Lord Jesus? Are you living by sight? Just what I see, that's what I'm going to do. But then the storms of life come, and you get into that cloud cover. You don't know really where you are. And there's danger all around you, but you do not want to bow your knee. You do not want to humble yourself and say, God, I'm lost. I need your help. Can I go to IFR and fly under your control, in your system, in the way that you designed me to live my life? That's your life attachment. That's attaching your life to the control and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to consider the things that God has been saying through His Word this morning. Hang-ups, habits, addictions, things that you just cannot break free from, but are just ripping and tearing at your soul, at your spirit, at your emotions, at your life, and all of those things that you hold dear. But you just keep hanging on, and you keep wanting to fly by your own sight. Lord Jesus, as we bow before you right now, just speak to my heart, Lord. First of all, Lord, you have spoken to my life. And Lord, I want to lay my life before you and say, Lord, I don't want to just be involved. I want to be committed to who you are and to your control and to what you want to do in me and through me. And Father, maybe there's somebody else who would join me in that prayer and say, Lord Jesus, for my whole life, I've never been flying IFR. I've never been flying under your control. And today, for the very first time, Lord Jesus, I'm saying, come into my life. I need your help. I can't see where I'm going. The storms of my life are just so severe and so strong and so dark that I don't know where I am. and I'm lost. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of trying to live my life my own way. It just has led to destruction. But Lord, I believe in you today, and I believe that you've saved me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song. God's spoken to your heart to trust him today. You invited Jesus into your life. You prayed that prayer. I want to encourage you to come. I'm going to be standing here at the front. And just come and say, I prayed that prayer for the first time. I invited Jesus in my life. And I want you to know about it, Pastor. God wants you to share that with others. Or maybe as a Christian, you've been trying to fly VFR. And you say, Lord, I didn't mean to get away from you. I didn't mean to live my life without you. But I'm coming today to rededicate my life. I'm going to come to the altar. Or maybe you want to unite with a church family like Big Spring. That invitation is open as well. You know what God's been saying to your heart. You come as we sing together.